XS Shafir Huza, welcome back to a brand new episode of Sea Turtles Level and Tato Rampidi, guys. It feels really good to be back on the podcast. We've had a lot of ups and downs, but we've been consistent for the remainder of the time. If you guys don't know what this podcast is about, man, we like having uncomfortable conversations in a very lighthearted manner. Our conversations heal ourselves, they heal our relationship, and hopefully they can heal you guys too. Because we keep speaking about the past and the external and how that affects how we move today. So man, very, very excited. This is my co-host Lebo Dambedi.
Hi guys, how you guys doing?
Yeah, so today's gonna be a very cool conversation. And this conversation is definitely fueled by the last couple of weeks, the last couple of months, that even the last couple of hours, right? We're speaking about reaching rock bottom, and how this episode is gonna go is that we're gonna speak about our experiences hitting our perspective of rock bottom. We're gonna speak about how we maybe gave up too soon and the effects of giving up too soon on certain dreams. We're going to speak about moments of failure in our life and how we navigated like failure. And then from there, we're going to speak about how we've conquered rock bottom, you know, moments where things were actually really, really tough. And we were like, you know what, let's just push through and be able to yield really amazing results. And then as time goes, we're going to speak about almost giving up, going to conclude nicely. But at the same time, I posted an Instagram poll today also. So we're going to start the episode doing our affirmations with Cappy, but also we're going to speak about people's absolute rock bottoms, because they said a whole bunch of things. We're going to also speak about, like, because I wanted it to be a game, like, is this really the rock bottom or not? Yeah. But I feel like let's just read them and then go into discussion like we used to, you know, back in the day. But yeah, man, before we go into the how are you, we've got affirmations.
Yeah, so I think this time I'll give it a start. Yeah. I wrote down, everything has changed, but I am more me than I have ever been. There is beauty in that.
Yeah, my affirmation from Cappy is learning fuels your growth every single day. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so learning fuels my growth every single day.
Be a part of the exclusive Cappy collab by clicking the link in Cappy's Africa bio on the social media to sign up and share your affirmations.
That's crazy. So I did two talks this week, man. I did a talk yesterday. I was in Cape Town, in and out, quick, fast, with the Africa Tech Conference, speaking about podcasting, which is so much fun. And I did a talk today with Special Effects Media in the morning, speaking about starting a YouTube career, and they're launching this really cool Jungle Collective program where content creators who are monetized can sign to them. And there's a whole lot of value add because they're doing these monthly courses. And I started my talk by welcoming all the guests and saying, guys, welcome. And I started by saying, I'm so proud of each and every single one of you guys for coming forward and taking your time to, you know, empower yourself in what you're doing. Because I feel like education, learning, especially when it comes to content creation, is always overlooked. It's like, no, man, it's content, just keep posting, keep trying this and it'll be fine.
But there's so many more layers.
Like, once you understand the data side of content, it changes a lot. Once you understand, you know,
The trends and
the click-through rates and the audience retention, it can really empower you. So,
because number one advice content creators always give is like, yo, just make content. Like, keep pushing your content. But everyone always wonders, what type of content should they make? Yeah. What are the niches that are being hit right now? What's popular, what's not? You know, those are the statistical sides that no one actually really speaks about.
That's why I literally always say education is the most important thing. Not necessarily tertiary, but like literally even asking someone, like me asking Lebo, like, yo bro, I want to style these white sneakers. Every time you wear white sneakers, you look amazing. How do I do that? That's me educating myself by reaching out or seeking mentorship. But we're gonna go into the how are you.
Yeah,
I don't even know how I am.
How are you?
How are you doing today?
I guess, bro, I'm okay, man. Like, I'm okay. It's like my 4th month, and 4th or 3rd month unemployed. The first 3 months I tried looking for a job, Then I said to myself, okay, cool, while I'm looking for a job, I could low-key be working. Like, let me also push my content. And the need for a job is just decreasing and decreasing more and more, because I keep picturing this job situation like someone's going to come and say, yes, I'll sign you and you can come work for us and save my life. But the whole time, my lives have been in my hands. So I'm just trying to be more active in like being a content creator, because that's my job now. I'm not, you know what I'm saying? Like, I was living by the title of unemployed for a long time, but now I'm saying, no, I'm full-time content. I'm practicing saying that, like, I'm a full-time content creator. Yeah. I do this full-time, guys. Like, it's not a joke anymore. Like, I used to do it part-time, used to be for fun. Yeah. Now it's for survival.
Isn't it difficult making a career into something so unregulated? Yeah. Like, you know, at work, you know, you've got 9 to 5, Monday to Friday, you've got managers, weekly meetings. Definitely. Now it's just you and your phone. Like, how do you, like, navigate imbalance?
Yeah. I think for me, man, like, one of the biggest thank yous I can give was to, obviously, like, my manager, Anke, and also, like, to myself as a whole, man. I'm doing scheduling. I schedule content. I say to myself, yo, you need to post this by this, then. I'm trying to do a new thing where I actually put money into my content now. So, like, if I want to do a skit, I actually want to, like, buy stuff for the skit now and stuff. Because I truly feel like this is, like, my biggest business card. My portfolio, like, the videos I release is my business card. So, in terms of it being unregulated, that's what I really love about being a creative, because there's no capitalistic laws of 9 to 5 to limit your creativity. If you feel creative at 10 p.m., you can utilize that creativity. If you feel it at 10, you can utilize it. But sometimes you cannot feel it at all. Yeah. You don't have to use it. You know what I'm saying? So that's the biggest part, learning when is business, when is it play, and when is it, like, contribute. But as I said earlier, I'm a full-time content creator now. So it's my job. So I'm trying to set some work standards up for myself that I'm comfortable with.
Yeah. You know? I always like when content creators start putting, like you said now, start putting money into their career, because I feel like content creators, like, you know, if you're a YouTuber, you get paid every single month. Mm. If you are a content creator on short form, you get paid every single brand deal. And it's so rare to see content creators put that money back into, you know, their career. So that's really cool. Yeah. I mean, we've seen a lot of people, like, even struggle to invest in just cameras and stuff, because they feel like, no, this is enough, my phone is enough. Not seeing the value of, you know, upping the production value, because that can help you charge more to brands.
Literally.
It's dope that you're investing in yourself and in your content and in your ideas.
Bro, like, for the longest time, like, my brand deals were just shot on my phone. Like, I'd quickly, like, edited it on, like, CapCut and, like, try to, like, push a message that's so powerful that you don't notice the quality is bad.
Yeah, but the quality is never bad. You're using an iPhone, the quality is good.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, in terms of, like, what I could give, I mean, like, dude, come on. Like, right now, I'm looking at 3 cameras. You know, we have access to these things. Like, I'm blessed enough to have access to these things. But I know other content creators, they say to themselves, yo, like, if I'm earning this much, like, I need to pay a brew to, like, shoot my skits. Like, it must be professionally, like, shot, you know? And it's what you said, bro. Like, be about your craft. Yeah. It's the thing that's feeding you, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm trying to really try to push that, and that's, I guess, how I am. Money is a huge problem to me right now in terms of, like, balancing it, like, getting that sweet spot of saying, okay, cool, this is how much money you're making, this is for this, this is for that, this is for this, this is for that. Like, it's always a guessing game, because, as you said, as an entrepreneur, you don't know when your next check is coming.
Yeah, but it's lack of forecasting. If you forecasted, you put your stuff into a budget, you'd be able to see.
Yeah,
I think we all need to start doing that. I also suck with that. Like,
yeah. I'm so not a big looking. Skill that I'm trying to learn, yeah.
Yeah, and all it takes is an Excel sheet, right? All it takes is an Excel sheet saying, I have this amount, I'm expecting these amounts in these months, and this is how much I have to play with. The thing is that we look at it, we eyeball it.
Yeah.
When we eyeball it, you can really crash out in the future.
Yeah. I think, I mean, this morning, you know, I wrote down the word budget on an Excel sheet, you know, like, when I got to the studio. And I just looked at it and I said, dude, the way life is so, we plan, God decides. Let me just say that, like, as a sentence. Like, we can plan for money. We can say, yo, like, this is what's going to happen. But ultimately, God decides what's going to hit you that month. Like, for example, you know, Tato's gone, like, through, oh, he'll speak about it in his, how are you? But I don't think he planned to be tackled by so many fees at a certain time. And that's why I've been really living by the words, we plan, God decides. You know, all I can do as an individual, as God's soldier, is just work and put in effort and hope that reflects into God's will, you know? But yeah, bro, how are you? Sorry,
yo. Yeah. That's nice, how are you? I'm good, bro. Talking to my friend earlier, and I was like, yo, dude, like, I have seasons in life where, like, life can be really, really slow. Like, I'm just sitting with the guys every day. We're shooting the basics, podcasts and stuff. And then life can be really busy. Like, you know, innovation kicks in. And after doing this since, what, 2021 full-time, I'm starting to see that, like, every time October, November, December comes, even Jan, Feb, March, there's so much innovation. And it's been so cool seeing, like, innovation inside of me, inside of my friends. And what I can say is that, like, we're dropping so many things, guys. And, like, in my how are you, I'm just going to say, guys, we want to launch merch. we have been going back and forth with suppliers, like trying to get the right things. I luckily like met someone now today who might be able to help us. But we do have tote bags coming soon. We've got shirts, we've got plaques. So if you guys want to get a plaque with our podcast cover or any podcast cover, to be frank, there should be a link in the description. And you guys can literally get this podcast with your favorite episode, or you can get, or we do change the title, keep the cover, or you can get anybody's podcast. If you're going to put Maggie's podcast or Tato Soul's podcast or whoever's podcast, you can literally print it out and we can give you that plaque. So that's very, very exciting. We're excited for that. We're excited to productize and to give you guys something that represents us. Otherwise, dude, I'm good, hey? Like the studio, you guys can see in the studio. I'm not really happy with how it sounds yet. I'm not happy with how it looks for the podcast, but it exists, and that's what's very exciting.
Yeah.
I'm still going to buy a whole bunch of decor. It's just that things have been taking time. Like, I had to build this upstairs with the team. That was difficult. Well, I had to get someone to come do it, and then just build it. And then, like, yo, we just keep getting more and more expensive. Had to install an aircon. Had to install, like, more plug points. We're seeing lighting as a big issue. We're seeing cleanliness as a big issue.
Yeah.
I had to hire a new receptionist. So it's like a lot is happening.
Can I add one thing to what you're saying there? Yeah. I was going to say, guys, Tato opened up the studio, guys. I'm getting emails from you guys. I did not open up a studio. Yes, we are helping to pay for the studio, but we are not the owners of the studio, you know what I'm saying?
They're not helping to pay. They're my clients.
We're clients of the studio, sorry. But like, and that's what I'm saying, sorry. We're clients of the studio, but I'm not in any way owner of the studio. Like, I think there's like a huge misconception on the internet. I'm getting messages like, congrats, like, bro, I've done nothing. And it's also very, it sucks.
I wouldn't say you've done nothing. So like, I don't know. So with me, like, the reason why I keep saying we, nah.
Yeah, Tato says we a lot of the. I think that's when the misconception. I'm hearing him say we just. I'm like, I've done nothing.
None of this would have been possible without like Thought Digest, Seated, ASM, Hunter, Percy level, right? So like the way I've worked with my personal, because I have my own personal business models and my own strategies. My strategies is always to work with dope people, build some really cool brands, and then, because of my entrepreneurial spirit inside, I can monetize from those brands in my personal capacity and also monetize for those people, right? So if ASM, not even ASM, if Seated didn't perform the way it's been performing financially past 4 months, this studio would not exist. So I heard earlier saying that like I didn't plan on budget. I planned on budget. Like I forecasted Seated's earnings from the past three, 4 months. Then I forecasted and I called my agency for the past, the next 3-4 months. Then I got an average and I saw, okay, cool. If the studio goes to shit, like, the Seated can pay for it. Do you get what I'm saying? From the earnings. So I do a lot of planning financially, and it wouldn't exist because of Seated. And because of Seated and ASM and everyone, we can also, like, I've got clients already, which is really cool. Like, ASM shot at my apartment and outside for, like, pretty much 10, 11 months. So that was cool. And now it's cool that we can get into a space and say, okay, cool. Tato, like, shout out, you gave us space. Now let's see how we can help you with your space.
And we're loving it, Joe. Like,
yeah, it's so much fun here, guys. Yeah.
So much more fun shooting at this dude than shooting at Tato's flat.
Like right now, like Khunse's leg on the fence.
Khunse's right here, leg on the fence, like wearing slides on the side.
Yeah,
you know?
Upstairs we've got a friend working. Like it's someone's working upstairs.
Like there's a hoop right there. Yeah. Like,
I'm gonna do a studio tour for my YouTube channel real soon. But anyway, that's how I am.
Yeah.
Yeah. We must have 3 tiers every time we do how are you. We must say, how are you emotionally? How are you physically?
Financially.
And how are you financially?
Always financially.
So emotionally, I'm good. Physically, I need to get back into the gym. Financially, I'm in the gutter. And that brings us to today's conversation, man, which is something that I thought about today based off of what's been happening. And that is reaching rock bottom. So we're going to go back to the old style of the podcast where we read what people have said. I'm hoping there's some entries. I posted this an hour ago. It's about 10 entries.
I even replied, dude.
Yeah. So a friend of mine said, a close friend of mine said, when I was academically excluded for the second time.
Yo, second.
Damn.
Yo,
I relate. You know how many of my friends were excluded in university twice?
I think I was academically excluded, low-key.
Oh, like, what? You flew at UP?
No, at Vert.
Oh, your postgrad.
Yeah, I think I was academically excluded. You were. Like the first semester. Then I appealed.
Oh damn!
And then I said, "Yo, I'm gonna pass everything the next March and the next season." I didn't pass anything.
Yeah,
like that, like crazy. So really relate to that one, hey?
You know, in my first year, I think I was excluded, but then something happened, and they said, "Ish, never mind."
That's nice.
Like all of my, like that's I think, very nice. I think I was excluded, but I never got a letter or something. Yeah, then bro. I registered, and then they tried to exclude me when I had registered, and then they were like, hey, you know what? Never mind.
You know, it's actually crazy. A lot of people don't have experience of academic exclusion. So for people that are at home that shined in university, right? Academic exclusion is basically when your marks are so bad.
The
university formally sends you an email saying that
get the hell out of here. You're not what we want.
You're not what we want, and we're gonna do this on the quiet. We're gonna get rid of you quietly. So come appeal. There will be a disciplinary hearing, you know, and you go to this hearing and you say, guys, I was sick. Yeah. I promise you, I was sick. Yeah, and you beg people, and plead.
Yeah.
And you need to prove you were sick or prove that you were...
Unstable or
it can be financially unstable, mentally unstable. It can physically. Be physically unstable. But the point is, you have to beg and prove to them that that's what the reason you didn't pass.
Yeah, that there's an issue, man.
That's the issue. So yeah. Very, very much a rock bottom. I'd definitely say. Yeah.
Another person said, "Yo, is there only a single bottom level? Because sheesh, nah, real. I've got a couple here. People saying grieving my best friend. Have you ever grieved a close friend or a brother?
Cousin, definitely. We had a cousin in Kaunolo. He passed away in a car accident like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
2 years ago, right? Loved that brother. Like when we were growing up, mad close, everything. But when we were obviously in our later years, in our 20s and stuff, people go to university, we're in different cities. So we really did separate in nature. So when I heard he passed away, which is funny enough, this happens to everyone, you all of a sudden forget that you weren't close at all at that period of time. And you remember all the memories that you had. And one of the best memories I have is my brother, him and I were washing dishes. Right? We were washing dishes and I didn't wash one of the dishes properly. And my dad came up and then he like obviously reprimanded us. And it was so funny. And that guy, you know, I used to call him Mickey. Right, and he used to say to me like, "Yeah, you didn't wash the dishes." Blah, blah, blah. And in that moment, he became my brother because we were like arguing back and forth. And when he passed away, me and my dad had to go fetch the body from like the casket place, right? And man, bro, that was when the real grieving started, bro. Like I was like, "Yo, this is so deep. This is the first time I've lost someone like close to my age."
Yeah,
which makes me think, "Abukuku," and then when they lose people close to their age, I'm sure they're like. It happens so frequently. I'm sure they're like, I'm coming next, Moose. Because deep, but if you saw me, Percy, Khunze, all of us start falling one by one, like as the months go, you're gonna start thinking that Loki, you're next. But yeah, that's the experience I have grieving. What about you?
Yeah, same one. Okay, so the next one is being flat broke. Adulting is tough. You know, we were shooting an ASM video this week, and we were speaking about our fears and. Khunse said commitment.
No, Percy said commitment.
Percy said commitment. Khunse said nothing. You said
failure.
Yeah.
I said height.
And for me, my definition of failure is being flat broke. I feel like I don't know what I would do if my bank balance got to less than my monthly company expenses. Mm. Like, I would fall apart. And mind you, my monthly company expenses are large. Like, you wouldn't believe if I told you how much I pay monthly towards everyone.
I'm sure it's a lot.
My monthly expenses are large. So that's my biggest fear. Like not being able to pay my employees, not being able to pay my editors, not being able to pay my brother, Don't Digest. Like that is my biggest fear. I don't even care about myself. You see me, I can go back home. I can go live with my grandmother in Limpopo, but like people depending on me, that's my biggest fear, bro.
Oh man,
That would be my rock bottom.
Rah, that's a crazy rock bottom, bro. Like, yeah, bro, I think that's a lot of pressure to put on oneself, you know? But it's the realities of this life, you know? Like, you know, you're heading a company. Like, people don't speak about that. Like, when you're done, the company's done.
Yeah. And people, I remember someone was like, yo, I'm opening a business. And someone gave them advice and said, you know, when you open up a business, you pay yourself last.
Yeah. I remember that conversation.
Yeah, you pay yourself last.
You're the last person to get paid.
I personally, when it's time to pay people, I pay myself first. And then I pay everybody else. But like, obviously, if I'm in a position where I can't pay my staff, we've never been there, thank God, I'd have to pay them first. I can't pay myself, or I choose between myself and my staff. I'd have to choose my staff.
Yeah.
I have no other option.
You have no other choice.
You get what I'm saying?
I think for me, my rock bottom, if I had to define it, would be definitely the point where I don't see value in tomorrow. Like, I don't... So I could be broke. I've been broke. Fucked. Like a lot of times, bro. My life, I've been broke many times. Money has always been an issue. Like, ugh. I know it sounds really sad and messed up, but I'm used to that life. That wouldn't really hurt me to the point. What would really hurt me to the point is if I didn't see value. Like, I'm like, you know what? I don't even love my siblings anymore, or I don't love this, or I don't... You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Not having a sense of...
Losing hope in life.
That definitely...
Seeing no purpose in life.
I mean, how can that not be a rock bottom, bro? Like, jeez, bro. Imagine you looking left and right and... You know, Tato said something. We saw this guy, like, selling peanuts by the corner of the road, right? And Tato's like, yo, this guy's, like, literally pushing. He's pushing. He's hustling. What's our excuse? Yeah. And I said to myself, bro, hey, very true. Like, this guy doesn't give up. Imagine and I live in Santa and I have a car, I have friends and family.
I feel like, you know what I'm saying?
Guys, like,
I feel like Leo's biggest personality trait is that I live in Santa.
Yeah, that's one of my, like, it's like, that's my MacBook. We all have our MacBooks, Agir. We all have our MacBook. People don't say this is my laptop, they say it's my MacBook.
I've heard him say...
I live in Santa,
I've heard you say it over 10 times. I live in top floor.
I live in the top floor in Santa, in Bryanston.
In Santa, yeah. with the view of...
It's the view of Mall of Africa and, and a view of Santa City, and it's beautiful at night. It is. The younger me worked hard for it. I mean, obviously, like, now...
True, hey, and we shouldn't downplay that.
Yeah, bro, the younger me worked hard to be able to even open that flat.
Yeah.
To even be able to see it off the website. I bet a lot of people see flats, it ends at the laptop screen. As we open the door at least, you know? Even if we saw it once, it's enough, shame. But we saw it, you know? I used to live in San Jose.
You
know what I'm saying? I can always say that, man. And I really appreciate that.
Real.
Yeah.
Actually, both describe stories where we hit rock bottom. So I'm going to move on to the next section.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. So the next segment is giving up too soon. Yeah. So let's talk about it. Let's talk about the temptation to give up when we're facing challenges, you know? Yeah. Let's talk about some of our personal experiences when we felt like, ish, am I giving up too soon? And explore reasons why, you know, we give up too soon. I know I already have a reason. I have a story, but you can go for it.
No, you can go for it, please.
So I'll never forget, and I've actually never spoken about this in a while, and I hate speaking about these times, but I'll try to keep it as general as possible. There was a time where I launched a show.
Yes.
The show trended, it did really well. And I got a lot of backlash on the show. And I didn't want to... Like, I had shot the show, post-production had taken, like, it's all YouTube then. Post-production had taken, like, what, 4, 5, 6, 7 months. And I dropped the first episode. A lot of controversy came through. I wanted to not drop the rest of the season. I wanted to stop creating content.
Because
it was affecting my day so much. You know how it feels to, you know, the feeling of being hated by the world. And mind you, the world doesn't even hate you. It's a small population of 13-year-olds and people that don't really understand, you know, certain things. But imagine, like, you know, waking up and feeling like the whole world hates you.
Yeah.
Waking up like feeling like Twitter is the representation of reality.
Yeah.
Waking up and seeing all these negative things and feeling
like... Yeah, pick and pay, but you're wearing like a hoodie because like you're trending on Twitter.
But you know what I'm saying? In real life, everyone's dabbing you up. So that's the moment I almost gave up. I also almost gave up like a year before that too on content because I was in a relationship and there were like funny rumors. And I was known as a person that was doing funny things, and I wasn't. So that was affecting my personal relationships. That was affecting my family name. That was affecting you guys, my associates, because I was known as something that I wasn't. And then I was like, you know what? Yeah. I'd rather I had more value on being in a relationship that's peaceful than being a prominent content creator figure.
It's crazy what you sometimes like, and that's the beauty of like God, you know. God sometimes gives you something in order for you to see how you should not have this thing or you should value it more. Or either the two options, you know? And guys, I can speak for Tato freely. Like, I can say I cuppered him a lot of the times. He'd drive somewhere in the... Dude, like, I'm talking about, what's Joburg North or something? Or for a sound guy. And we'd be sitting there and, like, rewatching an episode we've watched 4 times just to see if he added sound at a certain part or something like that. Yeah. So... The backlash that he received, obviously, like...
It makes sense.
I was always like, yo, this guy's like, might not drop for a while. It always made sense.
Yeah.
You know?
The backlash in itself made sense. I want the subject matter to be the backlash, right? For me, it's just that at that point, I almost gave up because of
that. I'm saying that, like, after all that effort, the backlash must have made you feel like, yo, you know what? Like, I don't want to make content anymore.
Yeah,
I did this for you guys. I think that's the worst part about being a content creator, bro. Like, sometimes we make pieces of, like, content and etc. And it's reciprocated bad, like, or it's reciprocated in like a negative way, etc. And that is very demeaning for content creators, and people don't know that. Yeah. So people just are in comment section saying like, "Leba akhapa today," for example. You know,
That's gonna make you insecure.
It's like, gonna make me insecure, even though I had shouted for 2 hours. You know, for that time.
Yeah, I think there's a big misconception that with, like, you know, influencers, public figures, celebrities, that we don't see your guys' DMs and comments and messages.
I think they think it's invisible to us. Like you guys are talking to each other.
Yeah, like no. Let me tell you something. Mikhaili, Lassie's way.
Oh, see, like if you tag them
in your vest,
if you tag them,
even if you don't tag them, ladies are more. We all see the stuff you guys say about us, right? Obviously, it's our choice on how much we engage with this. So, for example, Twitter, I don't engage with Twitter at all. TikTok comments, I barely read them, but we see everything. And I think there's a big misconception of the effect that the negative comments have on these public figures, bro. Yeah.
People always get shocked, and I'm like, yo, all my notifications are off.
Yeah.
For Instagram, TikTok, the only ones that's on is WhatsApp, my phone.
I don't forget, one time when I was still very young, someone said my hands were so dry. I think I was 20 or 21. Like, yo, Toto's hands are so dry in this
hand
video.
Hand lotion ever since.
I've never had dry any part of my body except for my lips in years. Yeah. Because it's like, they built an insecurity. Shout out to the person though, because you're keeping me moisturized. Yeah. But like, yeah, man.
Yeah, but funny how like that could have contributed to your rock bottom. I think for me, a time when I really felt like giving up was, I'd say third year, bro. I was in third year university. My final exams are coming up. I had heard, I don't know where I heard this rumor from, but I heard a rumor that if you don't get 65% I had to get 65% and above to get into honors at UP. Mm. That's the minimum requirement, right? And I think in second year, I'd finished off with, it made my average go down. So I was on 64 point something. Oh man, like I wasn't, I don't even know why. I was
used to panic.
I used to be like, yo, that's it, bro. Like my family's gonna hate me. I'm
guys,
alone.
Never used to panic.
I have nothing left for me. Wada wada. And like, oh, this whole huge, and that's why I say God is so beautiful, bro. Like, and God's word is so beautiful, because there really was a time when education was the biggest, meant the world to me. Like, I'll put it on a pedestal. But now I know it sounds really rude and wrong, but it means so little to me now. Like in terms of like the pressure I put onto myself there, it was so unreasonable for a 21-year-old, bro. Yeah. So pressure is there, everything, right? And then on top of that, my girlfriend of 2.5 years broke up with me like a week before exams.
That means she was there most of your university career, ne?
My entire university
career. Hey, yeah.
We used to compete every year. We'd like compete and say whoever gets the most marks will like pay for dinner, etc. But that was the time, definitely, I was like, yarr, I need to go home 2 weeks. I went home for 2 weeks.
So what do you think was enabling you to like be so like scared? Is it like the fear of failing? I want to be in the mind of someone, obviously I know, but this is for the audience to you.
Yeah.
The mind of a student who feels like they're about to fail or not achieve their goals, or not get that 65,
yeah,
and I get that 50. What are you fearful of? Are you fearful of the rest of your career not working out, or are you just fearful of that moment?
I think a lot of people relate for this. Like, you spend your first 20 years someone making choices for you, or like you're in a routine, etc. And the pressure a lot of the times of academic excellence does not derive from oneself, but the people around you. And for me, it was the fact of how great my father was, like, or is rather, sorry. My father's like an entrepreneur. He studied hard. He has a beautiful wife. He has a beautiful home. He has beautiful. And to a certain extent, that gives you pressure because you want to outdo the person who gave you this opportunity. But indirectly, it also gives you, a 21-year-old, the pressures of someone who's 45 or 55. You're comparing yourself to someone who's lived a life. And that actually inhibits you to like be anxious about your marks and be anxious about not being good enough, because your only validation from your parents and this godlike figure that you're trying to compare yourself to is academic validation. And for me, like, the crumbling fact that if I did not get this academic validation, I would lose this this idea that I could compare myself to this godlike figure.
Yeah.
Which is obviously incorrect, and you should live for yourself and have your thing. But I know a lot of people, when they see 60% on their test, they can even cry, Tato.
Yeah.
They can even break down and say, like, I studied so hard, I don't know why. And for me, it's so funny to see, because, like, now that I'm older, I realize that, like, all these semesters, I don't remember. I'm sorry, guys.
Yeah, I remember, like, when you used to come to me and you would cry and be sad about your marks, I'd always be like, dude,
You passed. Like, you were like 50, you were 60.
You passed, you're going to be fine. Because Lebo and I were in university at similar times, right?
At the same time, why are you saying similar?
No, like, because I want to explain, like, his whole undergrad, I was in my degree too.
Yeah.
Because I was doing the 5-year program, he was doing a 3-year program, and then I added a year also.
Yeah. And we're 2 years apart, by the way, yeah.
Yeah. And 3 grades apart, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
So he would come to me and he'd be there like, yo, bro, I got like 61 or I got 58. I don't know.
I got 42. Brother, I failed one.
I was getting 37, 38, trying to get a 40 to hopefully get a 60 in the exam.
Like, I'd fail one test, like it's like a tutorial, bro. Yeah.
And I was getting those 60s, like, to get balancing out. Then I'm like, bro, don't worry about 60, 50, nah, 61.
I think that that's just an important lesson for you guys listening at home. Sometimes your rock bottom to another person will not be a rock bottom. And that goes into the whole conversation that we really push here on Seated. Being seated of yourself and understanding that maybe your worst isn't the worst, you know?
Yeah.
People around you will even admire your low. As I was giving you an example, now I had 50, he says he has 32, so he wants to have my low of 50, you know?
Yeah.
But it's up to you to be seated of your emotions, understand that you are progressing, you're not going to be perfect, and understanding that you as an individual owe it to yourself to be proud of progression. I think that's what humanity is missing, bro.
Yeah.
Things happen so fast that we don't even celebrate our progression anymore. You know that?
Yeah, I blame, like, our external, right? I blame our parents, our teachers, the education system, because I remember when I was in university, for me, like, my rock bottom was also failing, right?
Mm.
And it stemmed from my parents, or like Lebo said, being godlike figures who were so successful.
Mm.
And I'll never forget, in my second year, like, in my first year, I failed a couple of modules. In my second year, I also failed a couple of modules. In my third year, too, I failed a couple of modules, right? But in my second year, second semester of failing, my dad invited me over, he sat me down, then he explained to me how he had also added a year or two to his degree. Mm. So now he started becoming more vulnerable with me and explaining to me that failure is a part of life.
Mm.
Then my mother, too, explained to me about how she had failed, you know, in moments.
How old are you there?
19, 20.
I want you guys to understand, like, the first moment of teaching you about failure was at 19.
Yeah. So now it's like the whole time, you know, I was so focused on becoming like my parents and passing like my sister was, my younger sister, and everyone around me was, and I had these older cousins who were passing. And I was only introduced to failure being okay at 19, 20. And to this day, I still struggle to understand, like, did my parents do a good job at not making failure an option? And then when I went through failure, they explained to me that failure is okay. Or should they have explained to me failure before? But if they explained to me failure before, would that maybe promote failure? You know what I'm saying? So I don't know what the answer is. I do know that I wished I had known that failure was okay at a younger age and how to conquer failure, because it can really put you in a very depressive, sad state to the point where you're at your rock bottom and you feel like, okay, cool, damn, maybe I should give up. And I feel like one thing that always helped me when I was at my rock bottom to, like, persevere and not give up too soon was always the fact that I knew that life was more than just what my moment was and what season I was in now. So, for example, like right now with the studio and everything, it all looks nice and glamorous and it's got its glitz, but it's very, very expensive. It's a big investment from my side. I've spent so much money. And I'm like, you know, there's moments where, like, I can complain and be like, oh, fuck. But there's moments also where I'm like, you know what, dude, this is just the season now. Imagine what's going to happen and what this thing is going to enable for me next year, March. And next year, March, I'm going to be seeing the glory of it all and I'm going to be very happy. So what's the point of me giving up too soon now when I know that there's going to be glory and happiness and sustainability for myself and my friends by next year, March, April, you know?
Yeah. I think a big theme that ties of what you're saying, and I think you guys relate back at home, is hope. So hope and faith in yourself. So Tato at least has the optimistic mind of saying to himself, like, oh, at least the future will be better. A lot of you guys and myself, we don't possess that skill. But it is in affirmations that you know, can say to yourself daily and remind yourself that good times are coming. You are progressing into something. You are affirming yourself that, yo, every day you are doing something that is bettering yourself and will cause a better situation for you. That's just for the people that like are like me who see tomorrow as another, I have to survive again. I have to live again. Like, that's why I know this is very dark, so I'm going into subtopic, sorry. That's why I fell in love, guys, with sleeping, like, and napping. Just to escape this thing that we call Earth, like, for seconds, man, would be, like, a beautiful thing. So to then now being my older years and sleep less and try to be, you know, use affirmations, try to be more emotionally intelligent, those are your responsibilities, too, as a human being. Yeah. No one is going to save you and teach you what Tato taught himself about being optimal. He had to go through life experiences. Mm-hmm. Equally, you too will have to go through your life experiences, but always take time to re-look and say to yourself, what did I learn and what can I apply now to make myself a better human?
Yeah, so it's so funny because
it's so true.
Level really escapes in sleep and I escape by not sleeping.
Yeah.
Because for me, it's like if I sleep, I've got less time to do things.
Yeah.
So because ask anyone that like I've been in a relationship with, I wake up very early.
Yeah.
If I'm like, you know, I had a good night and I'm already like, okay, cool.
What's happening?
Like, how do I solve X, Y, B, C?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because I'm like, yo, it's in my hands. And I feel like if I cook or if I go for a walk, I'm wasting time.
You're wasting time, same.
You know? Which also like not healthy because when you do that, you're
giving back to you, eh?
Yeah. You also like when you focus on like waking up early and always working and like work, you're taking away from your present. And I feel like your present is so much more important than your future because your future is not guaranteed, right? We'll just do this thing where you focus on like, yeah, but in the future, I'm going to be fine. In the future, I'm going to be good. For me, what I'm living in now is my future from 4 years ago. So I need to be good now and happy today, not focused on being happy tomorrow, which is why like for me, with my personal stuff, like I try only work Monday to really Thursday, half of Friday, you know, 9 to 5. I try not to work on the weekends when it comes to brand deals. Obviously with ASM seated, I don't mind shooting. So I think it's also very important if you're in an unregulated environment like entrepreneurship, that you create some sort of boundaries to protect your mental health and just your physical being and just the way you are, because
you could rot.
You could rot by just trying to work. Why? There's this guy that has a studio in front of me here. He does printing, boarding, and signage. This guy's working every day until 10, 11 p.m.
11 p.m.
And I'm 10. Like, does this guy not have a family? How's he doing about it? He's in his hustle phase.
Yeah.
And I know that I'm sure this guy's probably thinking, nah, it's Q4. Maybe he's got like some promos going out. But damn, I would not want to be working like that.
And that's how it's like, bro, in real life. You know, yeah. Like, I remember being in the office, Bruiser, bye-bye level. You know, you would come back the next morning, they'd say, hey, level.
Yeah.
You're like, I left later than this guy, I arrived later than this guy. He's working, he's pushing. But for some people, you know, that that routine just helps them to keep checking, be progressive. Like, and it's what Tato's saying, like, what are your boundaries? It took me a while to learn this. It took me maybe 2 months to learn that, like, oh, by the way, like, I can work when I want. Like, it's no longer... I'm sorry. I feel like I don't want to speak. I don't know why. But when I first became unemployed, I still was a hamster in the wheel of capitalism. So I still woke up every day at 8 and feel guilty between the hours of 8 and 5. Just guilt and sitting there saying, oh my God, what am I going to do? Let me apply. Yeah. Oh my God, what am I going to do? Let me apply. Oh my God, what am I gonna do? Okay, let me make one TikTok. And then week 2, it's like, okay, cool. You know what? It's Monday. You know, Mondays are my Sundays. You know, making jokes like that. I'm like, you know, Mondays are my Sundays. I'm my own boss, you know?
Yeah.
Week 3, you're like, damn, like, actually looking, you're like, I haven't made... Now, all of a sudden, you see on TikTok and stuff, it tells you, like, how many days ago you last posted.
Yeah.
Like, if you go to the latest post, it says 3 days ago, 4 days ago. That haunts me now. If I see 2.
Yeah.
If I see 2, like if I see TikTok,
as it should
2,
though, because what else are you doing?
That's my job. That's what I'm trying to tell you. That I'm trying to plan this thing, but yeah, man, sorry.
As it should.
I just got into a side note. I'm sorry, guys. I've been doing that the whole
podcast.
Also,
like, guys, I also want to say, like, we shouldn't. I feel like with the rock bottom conversation, we can conclude that one. That was great. We understood, like, you know, our rock bottoms, people's rock bottoms, and we've spoken about different ways to conquer that and how to not give up too soon. I hope you guys have felt value from that. But I just want to speak a little bit about what we're talking about now, nah? Guys,
the hamster wheel of capitalism.
No. It's like it derives from that. In life, Guys, there are two types, three types, four types of jobs and ways to apply yourself. There's jobs where you are there and you have to physically do something. Otherwise, there's no results.
We call them labor-intensive in economics.
Labor-intensive. Yeah. Then there are jobs where you are there. It might not be physical, but it requires a lot of administrative work.
So I think that one's intellectually intensive. Yeah. So it's like you're just doing... Your brain is the one working, not your physical.
Yeah. And you're constantly doing the same thing on repeat. Yeah. Then there's a level where you go to a manager level, where you are maybe facilitating level two, doing what they're doing, but maybe there's four of them. So you're managing four people. And then level twos are managing maybe one or two people. Then you get level five. The higher you go, right, the more of your brain and strategy and intellect you use. And what less do you use? Your time. So Lebo's in this situation where he's like, bro, I only made three TikToks aware I plan my content and I feel guilty. No,
but you that's a million. Keep in mind, that's like what? A million views.
Let's leave figures alone. Hey, you like bragging. Wait, wait.
I love saying just this because it's the truth.
Just wait.
But continue, sorry.
My point is he's at a position where he's not recognizing that he's built a career over the span of 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
He is not strategic because he is at a level which is very valuable towards brands. He has community. Yeah. So for people to pay and reach his community, it's expensive for people to reach his community and for him to sell them a product or a service. So aware, cool, you feel like you're only working 3 hours, 4 hours, but you're at a certain level where you have something very, very valuable.
Yeah.
And I feel like all content creators, all entrepreneurs need to start seeing the value in their products and the value in their services. Because once you respect the value of your product and your service, you can one, charge accordingly, and two, relax when it's time to relax. You get what I'm saying? And then you'll go through the seasons that we're in now where it's your innovation season or your big push because it's the fourth quarter. Yeah. There's a lot of brand deals coming, a lot of work coming. You know what I'm saying? But, hi, man. You must understand where you are.
I don't know if you've ever heard of stoicism. Stoicism? I can't pronounce it. You guys will tell me. It's stoicism. It's basically this philosophy that effort does not guarantee success. Mm. Right? And... I mean, we've seen it, guys. You guys have seen people in your lives who wake up at 4 a.m., but they finish at 4 a.m., and then, but they're not millionaires, right? Stoicism is the idea that if you put effort into the right amount of things, you won't have to work as hard. So he perceives it like hard work is a bad thing. Mm. If you're working hard, you're doing the wrong thing. You're not working smart.
That's your presence.
Yes. So I like what Tata's talking about. I want to just touch into that type of theme that he's not saying that like underutilized time is like a good thing. He's just saying like if you're working smart and applying yourself into the right avenues at certain times, at certain days, at certain points, then you should, as I said, you should be okay. You know, that's something you should know as an entrepreneur.
We shouldn't feel guilty for living a life with low amounts of work.
Because we take on all the risk.
Yeah. Because I mean, and I'm not speaking from, I work really hard. I'm working every day. Sometimes I work 12 hours a day. But then there's seasons where I'll work 3 hours a day.
Yeah.
But right. That's because I've also built systems where I'm not working, but I've got in Bali
like,
making sure.
We've got
sure
managers. We've got like, obviously like I'd be like emailing it up with clients and stuff. Like, and that would take majority of my, but I've got a person for that.
Yes.
You know? So it's like what you said, there's people in place.
Yeah.
Because if you were doing your emails, you'd be working more.
Imagine
way
like
more.
For me, I think my degree told me this. As soon as I realized that I can that's what I'm saying. I'm happy that you're finally putting your money back into your content.
Yeah.
Because with me, I was like, editing is cool, but no. I was like, okay, approaching brands is cool and it makes me more money, but no. You get what I'm saying? So it's like I rather take my money that I make and put it into people, invest into people, you know, educate those people too, and then I can live a better quality of life because I'm sacrificing cash flow, but I'm gaining back life.
A lot.
I'm gaining back life.
I could be like the person like answering the emails, shooting myself in the content and editing it. I've removed all those three steps for myself so that if, like, you know, like, you get to basically just be the talent. Like, that's my job. I forgot that that's what I wanted to be. I wanted to just be the talent. I don't want to be the guy that writes the email. But that's not the point. The point is what Toto's saying is that delegate, man. Like,
I think my point is, one, don't feel guilty once you've built up systems to allow for you to live a better quality of life.
Mm-hmm.
Two, build those systems so you can enjoy that thing that we're speaking about. So that, because, like, Lebo's guilty for having time. You shouldn't feel guilty.
Yeah, but that's because, again, capitalistic rat. these people have built this thing in you since primary school that you have to be somewhere every day from 9 to 5.
Yeah.
And hey, brother, once you, I think me and Khonto call it like, once you stop the simulation, was it you and me? The simulation. Once you step away from the simulation of what capitalism wants for you, of working hard to make another person money, and you make your own money, you're like, damn, bro. Low key, my boss is living like this. Like my dude, my previous job where I worked, I won't say where I worked, the CEO would come in like maybe once every 3 weeks, 4 weeks. He was like all around, etc. Right? But he's not as intensive at work as the person at the bottom.
Yeah, but what value is he bringing? He's coming and telling people how to think.
Yes.
He says, when I move this, do this, when I do this, do that, then all of a sudden, boom,
I'm he's the arrowhead of the direction. Yeah. Right? And people do this thing of where they get onto this bus, man, not knowing where it's going. As long as they see monthly, they don't give a hoot how much the petrol of the bus costs and how much the driver's getting, as long as they're on the bus of security. And I'm telling you now, like, as an entrepreneur, once you remove security from your life, oh man, like, yo, this is a different ball game, guys. Yes, it gives you life's pleasures, but it equally exposes you to life's risks at the highest level. The highest, highest level, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, no, shut up watching this episode, guys. We'll be back next week, same time, same place. Hopefully it sounds a lot better. Hopefully it looks a lot better. Subscribe to our memberships. I don't know what. If I have, just buy whatever we're selling so we can make this place look better, because
I'm begging you.
Damn, it's not looking good. But yeah, bless up. Bless you guys. Thank you for listening to this episode. We hope we have healed you. And thank you for taking a seat with the Rambini Brothers. See you guys next week. Ray Bans and catamaran.